I have
current geek.
Welcome to Current Geek, episode 11. Frosty the Snowman was a tiny little thing. Hey everybody, welcome back to Current Geek. This is the show where we tear apart geeky stories from the internet and we share it with you on a nice fresh plate of hot, smelly goodness. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me is Tom Merritt.
The hot, smelly goodness that you are serving this on is me.
Wow. You're the hot, smelly goodness. That's where I noticed it coming downwind from. Excellent. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are very, very happy to be here and bring you yet another big story and a geeky reader submission, so stay tuned for that. Let's start with our story.
Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, you are going to sing it. Could you do the whole, a whole verse, or what do you feel
No,
like?
You don't want that.
All right.
You really don't want that.
As we creep ever closer on this Wednesday to the day of Christmas, this is a perfect story for that. Physicists assemble world's smallest snowman. That's a mouthful,
yes,
by the way, to say, and that's crazy. So tell us about this a little bit. You've
National Physical Laboratory, I believe that might be in the UK because this comes from the Register, used a bunch of techniques to create a 10 micron wide snowman. You've probably seen this before. People use little nanobots, and they've made cars, and they've etched their name and with ion beams and stuff.
Sure.
Well, this snowman is a fifth of the width of a human hair, made from two tin beads used to calibrate electron microscope astigmatism.
Wow.
The eyes and the smile were used by milling them with a focused ion beam, and the nose is under 1 micron wide. Is ion beam deposited platinum.
Oh, wow.
Not a carrot.
I was hoping you'd say, and the world's smallest carrot now has a home on the face of the world's smallest snowman. Why only two beads, I wonder, not the three stacked beads like we're used to in a traditional snowman configuration?
Yeah, it was probably too much. They went for the wide base instead of the torso thing. I imagine to get it to balance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, probably. So now, what do you do with one of these when you're done? Do you just...
You take a picture of it.
Yeah.
And you send it to the Register, and you hope that they write about it so you become famous. And people hear that the National Physical Laboratory exists, and hopefully it gets funding.
You don't send it to the Super Collider and say, here's a nice little target for you, a little something to hit.
Yeah, you send it to the Super Collider and go, what you got?
Yeah, what do you guys have?
What we made.
We made a tiny snowman.
And two eyes made out of ion beam deposited platinum.
We should do a whole song.
Totally.
Well, physicists and wherever you are in Europe, we really think that's great and geeky and awesome and just a crazy thing for you to be sitting around doing, and hats off to you, literally.
It's good. Science shouldn't be boring.
No. I love it when... Yeah. And is this generational? Because you don't hear... You hear a lot about this today where scientists or other significant sort of inventors and other people, they do things that are kind of mashup-y, meta insidery kind of jokey stuff.
Yeah, they leave their names and little pictures of things inside of silicon chips.
Was this always
name mammalian protein pathways Sonic Hedgehog?
Yeah, exactly. And the guy, even though we're talking about the Super Collider guys, they named a bunch of the different quarks and stuff after really strange names. And I just wonder if this is a tradition that goes way back, like were the guys developing the first atom bomb, were they sitting around making funny jokes and little meta references and things like that, or I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. From the little history I've read, stuff like that happened, but I think the culture is more tolerant of hearing about it now. I think back in those days, it was a little more strict, authoritarian regime, and so you could do that stuff, but you didn't want anyone to know. You didn't want to get caught, or else you might not be taken seriously. You might not get a promotion. You might lose your funding because people think you're being frivolous. And these days, I think we're more understanding. That's like, hey, you know what? Human beings are machines.
Yeah,
and they got to blow off steam sometimes and do stuff like this.
I feel like a bit of it is the Google effect. And hear me out as to why. I don't mean what Google does in terms of search or whatever, but they have this culture there where they got that 80-20 thing where people work on personal projects that often become major Google things and make a lot of money for them. But it encourages kind of fun, goofy, Easter eggy sort of behavior. And half the time, Google's landing image and other things Google does seem to be very sort of Easter eggish. And I love that when that starts to bleed into other parts of life, it gives me the sense that these scientists are not so regimented that they can never be creative enough to accidentally discover things. And that's what this does. If you're going to be making a snowman, I guarantee you that leads to other thinking. That makes them go, well, if we did this, think of what we could do here or there.
It's the law of unintended consequences, right? I mean, if you try to predict and plan every step you take, you'll never do anything creative.
Yeah,
I totally agree with you. When they may go back to this someday and go, hey, you remember how we deposited the platinum of the nose on the snowman? I can totally use that to solve this problem I'm confronting.
Yeah, this cancerous thing or something that, you know, that I'll need when I'm old. So let them do it. It's awesome.
Yep.
So congratulations to you guys. We have a geeky reader submission of the week. This comes to us from a girl. A girl! I love it.
Yes!
Love it when the girls write in.
Women are geeks too.
Jessica B. Jessica Biel? Maybe.
Could be.
Jessica B. says, I got the pleasure of meeting Shane Acker, creator of the movie Nine, the animated film that came out this year. Out in L.A. about 2 years ago, before Nine became a movie, we were having a deep conversation about the character development of the ragdoll characters. One of the influential characters to Nine was Seven. Out of nowhere, I said, quote, oh, I get it, Seven of Nine, and laughed hysterically at my Star Trek
good.
Joke.
I like that.
It's pretty funny. And if you're a Star Trek person, you're like, oh, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, Seven of Nine.
But she says, no one laughed, and Shane just stared at her. I was momentarily totally ashamed of my inner Trekkie.
Jessica, never be ashamed of your inner Trekkie. They're the ones with the problem.
Oh, yeah.
Not you.
It's Shane Acker with the problem. I mean.
No disrespect to Shane Acker, but. You know, at least smirk. Come on.
A little bit. I think that's great, and I think this is a good time to tell everybody out there, let it show. Wear it on your sleeve. It isn't a problem. We rule
that's
the world right now.
About.
We're in charge. The geeks rule. We're the dudes. So
no one gets anything done without the geeks.
That's right. So don't be embarrassed. It's all good. Thank you, Jessica B., for that. If you, too, would like to submit a wonderful geeky story, you're welcome to do that at our email. Our email is currentgeek@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/currentgeek. And the website to visit and check out the show notes and leave comments is, of course, currentgeek.com. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys on Friday. Until then, everyone have a wonderful week and stay geeky. And for me and for Tom and for all the geeks out there, happy almost Christmas.
Yay!
Meep. Frosty the... I'm not going to sing it. Frosty the Snowman. Let me start over. Well, I almost sang it.